This episode of Wrestling Soup is brought to you by ComicCrusaders.com. Comic Crusaders is your all-in-one home for news, comic discussion, movie recaps, and entertainment updates. Check out some of the many podcasts and YouTube shows while you're there and follow Comic Crusaders on social media. Go to ComicCrusaders.com for more information and to subscribe to their outstanding lineup. ComicCrusaders.com.
Yeah, there was this guy online. He was saying, so apparently Ray started a dick sucker chant with kids directed at Baron Corbin.
Yeah, I said that.
And he said, you got to be careful with Puerto Rican slang using Daddy Yankee lyrics. And I responded, do you think Ray knows?
Do you guys think Rey Mysterio knows Spanish? You see Rey Mysterio sitting in the ring. He's like, They're like, Rey, you know what you're saying, right? He's like, what do you think? I know Spanish.
What am I, Cody Rhodes? I don't know these things.
Do I look like diversity champion Cody Rhodes?
When someone sent me this brand new Jordan Miles t-shirt, I had no idea it was Spanish. I just wore it because I thought it looked cool with my jeans.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Ray doesn't know Spanish? ... AEW bound?
WrestlingSoup.com.
Wrestling Soup is intended for a mature audience. We like to use naughty words.
Wrestling Soup.
I'm Anthony Missionary Thomas, joined along with the Kevin Castle. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, man? How's it going, Mish? What's up, chat? What's up, people of the soup, in the soup, and of the soup?
Yeah, man. It's it's good fucking pay-per-view. I can't wait to get into some of your thoughts about it. Surprising. I think both me, you, and Joey, all of us combined, did not expect Backlash to be as much fun as it was. We followed that through with a little bit of Monday Night Raw and then some other things that we got to talk about. But I guess first, let's get into a little bit of your thoughts on Backlash. How'd you like it so far?
Backlash, I loved. I thought the whole pay-per-view was really good. People talk about not having high expectations. I go in with no expectations. I just watch it like I'm watching a Mets game or like I'm watching anything else that I watch. I just go in, I watch it. If I love it, I love it. The expectation thing and all that other stuff that comes with it, especially in the IWC, which is some narrative of there's no hype, there's not enough hype. You know, Ali versus Tyson, that would be hype. You know, it's a regular pay-per-view. It's an offshoot of WrestleMania. But we've also learned from not the Saudi one that just happened recently, but the one before that. And then there were a couple other little smaller pay-per-views that actually delivered big time. So I was hoping for that, and that's what we got. So I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, there was some hiccups and some shit, but mostly it was good.
Cody Rhodes defeating Seth frickin' Rollins by pinfall. What were your thoughts on that match there, Kev?
Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins killed it. I mean, the first match, it was funny because Chicky had posted something like, isn't the first match supposed to be like a curtain jerker match? Or so? Why is the first match so high profile now? It's been that way for a while. I mean, if you haven't watched for years, some older school fans, if they came back and watched now, they probably say the same thing. It was like, wow, it's a pretty big match to open it up. I always thought the first match should be important. I didn't think it ever should have been, even back in the day, a curtain jerker. This is a main event. This could be a main event anywhere. And I like this match better than the WrestleMania match. Because WrestleMania match, remember, there was a few little botches and a few little slips here and there. Because, you know, probably the nerves and everything. Cody debuting, Seth Rollins not really knowing who he was wrestling. That's kind of a shoot. This was more like detailed. It flowed a lot better. And the crowd was totally into it. I was a little surprised with the pulling the tights ending of it. But I like that Cody's willing to fight fire with fire and not be a goody-goody Ricky Steamboat type babyface.
Right. And I kind of agree with you. This was the opener. Usually on WWE events, we get a pre-show match. There was no pre-show match this round. So
no.
It was kind of nice. It was definitely unexpected, and the crowd came in hot. I totally agree with you. Omos with MVP defeating Bobby Lashley via pinfall singles.
This better than the WrestleMania match that they had, definitely. Omos is still green. He's still having some problems, I think, really getting his footing, literally and figuratively.
Yep.
But Lashley had to eat the pin this one. I couldn't picture Lashley. If Lashley beats him again and pins him decisively again, then the whole gimmick is just washed away. He's got to almost has to remain undefeated from here. That's why I find it interesting about that cage match next week. But Lashley's a top babyface. Like, who do you sacrifice here, Mish? You know what I'm saying? But the way it went that night for Omos to get the pin needed to happen.
Yeah. And I, what were your thoughts on MVP? I mean, do you like him being a part of the Omos crew at this point?
I thought he worked better with Lashley. It seems like he's making the best of what they gave him. I'm sure, you know, I don't know him personally, but I would think that he probably prefers to be with Bobby, which is more of like a serious, you know, such a long history of success and in the business. I'm sure they've bonded and gelled being together the last couple of years. Omos, but he also knows the gig. The gig is here. Take this guy under your wing, kind of like what Edge is doing now. We'll talk about that in a few with his new proteges. Here's your guy. Help him hone his skills. Teach him the road. Teach him the ropes. You know, give him advice. You're that guy. And I think that's what they put MVPs in that position now, being that elder statesman. Help Omos out. He needs it. That's where it is.
Edge defeating AJ Styles via technical submission singles match. Damian was barred at ringside, but not really because he showed up anyways. Obviously, along with Finn Balor showing up. And then, of course, the mystery partner being Rhea Ripley. What are your thoughts on this one?
Liked it. Better than the WrestleMania match. Again, it's weird. That's the theme tonight. And I don't think too many people will argue with me from podcasters to fans that the matches that were redone were better than the WrestleMania matches, which is kind of weird because the Epic and the Ultimate should be WrestleMania. But okay. You know, I thought it was a good match. I thought the crowd was more into this one than they were at WrestleMania. WrestleMania, they were more sitting on their hands. This flowed a little bit better. Again, you got AJ Styles and Edge, two of the best in the business. They shouldn't have a hard time getting it together. Damian Priest coming out was weird. Obviously, he's barred from ringside, but then the Rhea Ripley comes out. Worst kept secret in wrestling, right, Mish, that Rhea Ripley was going to be the charge. But I wasn't sure, and I wanted to get your – at first, I thought it could have been maybe Ciampa because of the size, the height.
Right.
I thought – is that – I didn't know it was a woman right away. I don't know if anybody else caught that. I could not tell right away if it was Rhea Ripley. But no shock there, but I like the new blacker look, blacker makeup, darker look. I like it. I like them. There's supposedly one more that's going to be added in the next couple of weeks. I hope it's Ciampa.
Maybe a couple more. I mean, from the way that Edge made it sound on Monday, he said, we're always looking for more.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it could wind up being five or six. I mean, people say, oh, don't overdo it or whatever, but this is interesting stuff. I mean, you know, listen, the Bloodline can't be the only faction dominating. This is a good faction to have a dominating faction on the other show, another heel faction dominating. So it makes sense to me. And again, Edge will help them. He'll help. Damian Priest is a longtime veteran at this point, but he still kind of needs his help in the WWE way of doing things.
Right.
And Rhea Ripley is 25 years old. She's a kid. She still needs help. And I tell you, even what we'll talk about the role, but even her promo, she seems a little bit more confident in herself, but she looked good with them. She fits the bill. She's, would you say, fair to say, their China of DX era?
Yeah,
she could be that.
Like that. I mean, obviously, one of the big things that even happened on Monday, AJ failed the punk test because AJ was going to go swing and fucking Rhea steps right up in his face. And then AJ's holding his hand like, well, I'm not going to hit a lady. And then he fucking gets wrecked.
Yeah,
wrecked.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was great. Like the back in the day, China, when they were fighting and they wouldn't hit China, and then they realized it was okay to hit her at one point.
Right.
I don't think they're ever going to go that way. Do you think, Mish, that Rhea will be like a girl that they'll okay it for them to combat her? Like, do you think it's going to be hands off with her?
You know, WWE's been toying with that a lot lately, though. I mean, when you think about this whole stupid Drew Gulak situation, where he got his ass handed to him by Charlotte, got his ass handed to him by Ronda. I think WWE is starting to become really okay with the physical exchange between men and women because I can't really remember the last time a dude just fucking took out a woman. In my memory, it's Baron Corbin giving the End of Days to Becky. That was like the last time I remember somebody, like a guy actually laying a woman the fuck out. So I don't know. But I mean, if Rhea keeps stepping in the way of people, you know it's going to happen.
It's true. Well, Mish, it was about 3 years since the last time I took out a woman, but that's another story. But hoping to get that back post-COVID. But I like the crew. I'm enjoying it. And, you know, I thought she fits the suit, man. She looks good with those two dudes. She's a big girl. She looks good.
I was really pleasantly surprised that it was Rhea because a lot of the times, you know this for a fact, that WWE seems to make these last-minute decisions where they change things because the audience is way too in on it and they figured it out. And sometimes those changes don't make sense. Sometimes the changes don't even happen. So I was really pleasantly surprised that WWE let this this play out and let the audience almost get like a sense of, yeah, we knew and we're okay with it, because she fits Judgment Day. She really does. I'm not crazy about the name still of the faction. Just personally, I think it's kind of a cornball name, but I mean, Edge, Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley look good together. I can only hope that the next people or person that they add to this group is also another young cat looking to make it or establish themselves with Edge, you know?
Oh yeah, I agree. And Edge get cutting his hair. He needed to do that. It's still being fine tuned, this thing.
Yes.
And I like what they're doing. Yeah. You know?
Yes. Moving on from there, Ronda Rousey, defeating Charlotte Flair in an I Quit for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Your thoughts?
Pleasantly surprised. I enjoyed the match thoroughly. I really did. I was one of the people. I was on board with the Ronda Rousey thing that everybody was saying, that she's putting people to sleep during her promos. Charlotte's just not connecting on any way as a fan favorite or a babyface. I don't know what to make of Charlotte. It's a mess, this feud. It's not interesting. But they delivered in that match. I watched it twice. I watched that match. I enjoyed it so much. I liked the thing where they were kind of calling each other bitch. And so I thought that, yes, that was cool. People were like, I was overdoing it. I'm like, no, because it was like a real fight, and that's how you would talk,
right,
if you're in a fight. Come on, you know, let's suspend disbelief here a little bit. That's what we're supposed to do. So I liked that aspect of it. I knew Ronda's not going to say I quit. That's her old gimmick, is she never quits.
Right.
So Charlotte, now I'm hearing Charlotte's getting married to Andrade or something like that. She was going to take time off anyways, the rumor. I like the way Charlotte was crying in the end. And Ronda needed to win the belt. Now, who's the next contender is the only thing that really was on my mind. And I really couldn't think of a viable one over on SmackDown.
Well, I mean, the first person I thought of was who they debuted, which would have been Lacey.
Yeah. And now that you heard about what happened today.
Yeah. And now she's on Monday.
She's on Monday and going to be a heel now. So what happened there?
I don't even understand what happened there. That's just so far backwards. It's interesting. It's weird. It's another case of WWE not really understanding what they have. And it's sad.
Even people in the chat didn't get the news wire today. Yeah. Cause a couple of people saying what's going on. Yeah. Lacey was moved to Raw. They showed the vignette last night, and you probably thought, yep, too, Mish, same as me, that, oh, they're trying to just cross section this to show people Lacey's this big baby face. And they're moving her to Raw, and now I think they're pushing her in the heel aspect. Now, look, Bianca Belair is a babyface, so clearly she can go up against Bianca when Bianca gets done with Asuka, whoever she's got to battle now. But, do you think WWE sometimes follows what's going on online,
no,
in the scuttlebutt? And,
I think they get ahead of themselves sometimes, and they don't really think about what they're doing. You know, Sean in the chat saying, how do you heal that promo? You know what? And I was thinking about that this morning. The only way you can heal that promo, which is, you have to get darker, right? So the only way to make Lacey's character work is by making it her life has completely altered what is good. And it kind of doesn't make sense because she's military. She was an MP and shit like that. She's got real fucking human accolades that most other people in WWE or in wrestling don't normally have. Right. So you would kind of almost have to turn it into a selfish thing. Kind of like, I'm just here to take care of my family. Fuck all you people. I'm here to take care of my own. Nobody's helped me in this world. Nobody's done a goddamn thing for me. I'm the one that had to go through everything. You people weren't there. Don't get in my fucking way. Like, that's the only way you could do it.
I like your promo better than hers, actually. Can you do that? Mitch just got a great promo, right? That was great, Mitch. Can you sell that to Lacey? But there's a tale of two cities with Lacey. It's kind of like what Lee was saying. It's like you're expecting to hear the pop it on pre. It was very, even if it's legitimate, the fans still aren't buying. Listen, Ken Patera was incarcerated for 3 years. That was legitimate.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon gave him a job when he got out. That was legitimate. But do you guys remember, you old school guys, with Heenan calling him jailbird and stuff, and the crowd laughing at Patera? He just served 3 hard years in prison, and people didn't give a shit. People didn't care. They didn't give a shit. And Patera came off as being a blonde badass heel, if you remember. Now coming back, Bruno, I'm all American. I was in the Olympics. Remember what? And no one gave a shit. They're like, nah, we like pissing on Ken Patera, like when you were with Big John Studd cutting Andre's hair. We know you were in jail, but we don't buy this. So people, it's funny again online. People are fighting with each other. How could you disrespect this woman's journey? And other people are like, because we all got our own problems. And I watch wrestling for escapism, not to feel bad for somebody who I'm trying to get entertainment from. The two don't mix. You know, even if you're mixing real life, that someone said the best thing. I'd like to give him credit. I don't know if it was Jason, it was maybe somebody else. Save that for an autobiography.
Oh, yeah. The story she said. That was the first thing I said, too, is like, yeah. I'm like, this should have been a special, like one of those WWE documentaries or one of those WWE specials. And they should have taken clips from that.
Right. Because
the whole thing was presented weird. Me and Joey even kind of went back and forth on it. I'm like, it's weird that she's wearing ring gear and she's got a background while telling this heavy ass story. Like, this story had multiple cuts to it too. And I even said, I'm like, it's probably because they had to cut because she started fucking crying every time she told the story because it's her goddamn life and it's been a miserable journey for her ass. And I'm like, so this should have been something that should have been taking place at a table. You know what I mean? Like maybe a one-on-one with an interviewer and like a camera on her and stuff like that. And having that kind of an intimate setting.
Right. The backstage thing didn't make sense. And people also, you heard the noise from the arena while she was talking. You guys heard the same thing too. You heard, they didn't filter out the noise at all, Mish. You heard people in the background. Yeah. So it's like, are they setting up for failure? Are we being fooled here? Like, what is this, like a hoodwink job on us? Like, what is this? But my father died that day. Like, this is not,
dude,
even,
not even her father. What was it? Her brother? It was like her brother. Or something like that. He fucking opted out on the day of her NXT debut. Like,
and then when she said she was on the ill-fated ski trip that killed Sonny Bono, I was like, oh, come on now. She was in the tsunami that they made the movie about, but Naomi Watts got the gig. I mean, she has it hard, man.
And I can totally respect that on a human level. But the one thing I said, even during my silly ass recaps, is how is the audience supposed to take this? How do you explain this to the kids in the audience? You know?
I want to clap for Lacey, but I'm so distraught.
Right.
And also, someone from the military told me that the military actually doesn't appreciate her wearing the uniform like that. That could be true. My dad's not alive to ask him, but that could be true, that wearing the pants down, your underwear sticking out, that's military don't like that.
No, they don't. Yeah. They're really
yeah, Lee is saying he believes that too. Yeah, military does not like the depiction of that. They don't like it.
But the thing is, though, too, is that they got to realize that this is also a character. She's not actually wearing her fatigues. You know, she's not wearing her uniform. She's not doing a cadence run or anything else like that. So this is a character. And I mean that from the visual side of things. Obviously, she's talking about her fucking life. So it's this weird amalgamation between the two. You know what I mean?
You come out like Slaughter. I pledge allegiance to the flag. I don't know what she's doing. She's moved to Raw now. It's official. According to PW Insider, and all the higher ups who know everything. Sure. Sometimes they get it wrong. She's going to be a heel. Doesn't surprise me. I think they got cold feet about maybe the feedback, Mish. You know, they were seeing the feedback was like, I still don't like. How does she go from a Southern Belle to this? It's too, you're confusing people. Be like a, because a lot of MPs are very fucking hardened people. So she could be like, she's like this prickish MP woman from the military. Like, you know, in the military, she had to be one of the guys, so she had to be tough. So she takes no shit. So she can go that route. You know what I mean? She can go the takes no shit route from people.
Is she from Cobb County, Georgia, too?
If you ever take a trip, to Cobb County, I don't know. Yeah, they should make her a corrections officer. That clearly worked. Because I wanted to know, I was watching what I was watching. After she came out on SmackDown and did that picture that Phil the promoter put up with her over the guy, and they're like, you know, show respect, and she came out and she got like a smattering of applause. I knew right there that she wasn't over. I think the decision was made right there that they had to make a change. I think it was made that night.
Because
SmackDown's a live show.
Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair, though, did put on a fucking clinic, enjoyed the match thoroughly, great. up and down through the audience, got a couple of laughs out of it, too. It's amazing that when you look at the career of Ronda Rousey and you look at the career and styles of Charlotte Flair and both of these women, that the best matches they have are when they do none of that. Or when they just go out there, grab weapons, and just beat the ever-loving shit out of each other. It's almost poetic. Like, the best matches that you can see with women's wrestling in WWE is Ronda and Charlotte not being a submissions expert, not being an MMA star, just being two gritty people beating each other into the fucking cement.
Yeah, I agree. They're two of the best. It's hard to deny that they're the best. It's just sometimes these dream matches and these feuds just don't click. You know, not everything is Ric Flair Sting or Magnum TA and Nikita Koloff. It just doesn't click. You'd think that these two would match up beautifully the way Cody and Seth Rollins do. This time they did. Previously, not so much.
Wrestling Soup will be right back.
Wrestling Soup, motherfuckers.
Hey guys, if you want to support the Wrestling Soup, you can subscribe to our iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Google Music, and TuneIn Radio.
Excuse me! This is Vicky Guerrero, and you're listening to Wrestling Soup.
Next match on the card we had was Madcap Moss defeating Happy Corbin via pinfall.
Kappa-mania is running wild. Mitch, let me put it this way. Me and James Ryder are going out. We're going to buy the suspenders. We're getting the shorts. Oh. So we know this is going to be a big move for the summer. This is a big look. Madcap Moss, Riddick Moss is money. He could be money. I told you, my female friends think he's like the hottest guy they've ever seen, which is weird to me. But they think, like, how come this guy's not a big star? I'm like, because he's, look at what he's wearing. Why would he be a big star?
He says. He's kind of a dork.
But he's got the athletic. I mean, you see him do those leapfrogs. I mean, just wow, the guy's got some great vertical leap. Like, that would give Montez Ford a run for his money. But this gimmick is ridiculous. I understand people want to like him, though. I've noticed people want to like him. And I'm thinking they think, you know what? Santino Marella, he got over being silly, the unibrow, the snake, all that stuff. You know, he'll get over. Just let him be silly. People will start liking the jokes. I don't know, and because, look, John Cena was kind of a joke character with Thugonomics. That was a joke character with B-squared and stuff. Didn't last very long. John Cena was able to make – he can find his way out of this. It's not over for Madcap Moss because right. He's a comedy character now. Comedy today, serious tomorrow. People have short-term memory. You know, Mish, they're on to the next thing. Maybe let him roll with this for a little while, but change him eventually. I just have most of a problem with his ring attire. I mean, he's wearing people are saying Crosswar suspenders. He's legitimately wearing suspenders, yeah. And he's wearing like little boy shorts that you'd see in like the Buster Brown old school commercials back in the 50s. So his attire is, I mean, look at his attire. It's just the white belt, you know, but change his attire. Riddick Moss's money.
The Bloodline, Roman Reigns and the Usos, Jimmy and Jay with Paul Heyman defeating Drew McIntyre and RK Bro, Randy Orton and Riddle via pinfall, 6-man tag.
Fantastic. And the two most over groups of people, RK Bro is one of the most over things on Raw. The merch is selling like crazy. They'd be stupid to break up the team. Randy Orton is happier than he's ever been in his career. Matt Riddle is catching fire with everybody. It's working. This has worked. The one smart decision that these people have made in creative, put these two together. I think this is better than Rated RKO. I don't know if you agree.
Oh, yeah.
Mish,
yeah.
This is better than him and Edge. Don't you? Yeah, does anybody in absolutely. Chat agree with that? Riddle and Orton are a better team. They're just a better team. It's people are really into this. And you got the Bloodline, the biggest thing, and the reason to watch, the only reason really to watch SmackDown, the main reason, Roman Reigns and his crew with Heyman. The two biggest factions going against each other. This had to be a winner, and it was. Crowd was into it from, there was no dead parts of the match, which is what I liked, because it made it exciting to watch at home. Crowd was into it. I was confused of why the Bloodline can't take a loss. Nothing's on the line. I guess they want to keep Roman really strong, but it doesn't hurt Roman for one of his cousins to get pinned. Well, if anything, he could just debase him on the next show and browbeat him. You know,
there was a little something that happened. I think it was on Saturday where Roman came out to the crowd, and I believe it was a house show, and he pretty much said, you know, if I don't see you guys again, I just want to thank you. And it really got a lot of people stirring. Well, the news breaking today from Old Tuna there is saying that apparently Roman Reigns signed a new deal today with less dates. Apparently, he's got a new WWE deal, but his dates include much less appearances at non-televised live events in the future. Much no house shows is where he's at.
That's rough.
It happened in Trenton, New Jersey, where he was actually telling that story to people, saying that he was beginning a new phase of his career and that he'll unlikely be returning to the area in the future, which is what caused a lot of speculation. And I guess this is the news of why. He won't be returning to Trenton on a normal basis because he won't be doing house shows.
Student Mike, friend of a Mike Messier, on Twitter was kind of shouting about that, and he wasn't getting a lot of traction on it. I saw what he wrote. And he's like, this is a contract thing. This is not a, him going to the movies thing, where everyone was like, he's going to Hollywood or whatever. So I give Mike that credit, who listens to the show. You were right, Mike. I mean, I didn't think it was that either. And now they more kind of, you know, it's the scuttlebutt today that Reigns is just taking more dates. So I guess it is more of a contract thing. He's not going to Hollywood right now. Did they say how many years he re-signed for, Mish?
I'm going to take a look right now. I don't think I see it on here. No. Yeah, nothing in concrete yet from.
So, do you think he'll do the Garden and Barclay or the bigger?
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be exceptions to every rule. Right. You know what I mean? I think just for the most part, and people sometimes forget he's still dealing with his leukemia. He's still dealing with his health.
And he's got four kids.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
So maybe it is
five kids. He's got two sets of twins and a daughter. He's got five kids.
Maybe he does need to relax a little bit. Maybe he doesn't need to be on the road 300 days a year. Maybe the guy that's, you know, helping to lead the company doesn't have to do every single house show, but can do all the major shows that are needed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's been on, I mean, listen, they've run this train into the ground for the most part. They got everything they could out of him. They turned his career around. He'll be now remembered as one of the most dominant champions. The stink of him being boo-birded and stuff by everybody for all those years is gone. So they did the mission accomplished, and he can go on to be in Hollywood, play. Well, Marvel, DC call. Hey, we got a character for you, right, Mitch? The guy's custom made to play a superhero or a villain. Don't you see him in movies down the road?
Yeah, there's
definitely, you know, whoever it can be. I don't care. You know, some people like Submariner or whatever. I'm like, whoever, they'll come up with something for him. There's tons of Marvel and DC characters. They haven't even scratched the surface on.
Oh, that would be funny though, Cal. Instead of having him play in Aquaman 2, having him play Namor.
Oh, yeah, Prince.
The
yeah,
Marvel Prince version, Namor. That would be really fucking interesting.
That would be very interesting, actually.
Especially considering that Jason Momoa kind of does look like he's part of the family, let's be honest.
He does. Yeah, he does. I mean, maybe they can do a tie-in. Maybe someone's even already thinking that creatively in their mind.
Maybe. So we go on from there to Monday Night Raw. Obviously, after WrestleMania Backlash, there wasn't too many things that happened on the show. One major point note was Alexa Bliss made her return against Sonya Deville, who had just been fired from her authority position from Adam Pearce. She literally did two moves and that was it.
I don't wish anything for anybody, but I'm making a prediction here. I think she's a goner. It's just my opinion. I think she's bus flip, next bus flip, which I think is coming sooner than later. Yep. Could even be this week. Didn't hear anything. Just give my opinion.
They didn't give her any background. They didn't talk about where she was. They didn't talk about anything post-match. She literally came out looking like a diva competition contestant. Mm-hmm. She had the straight blonde hair with the purple highlights, wearing black and purple the whole way, looking like she stole out of Natty's closet.
Yep.
Nothing special. Had the doll, was holding the doll like, here, this is my merchandise. Buy this merchandise.
Yep.
Went into the ring. It was like not even a fucking minute and the match was over. And she put up her hands like three times and then she was out.
Yeah, I think because people are going to be, but Kev, Sonya's been on TV for 2 years as an authority figure. Val Venus was part of Eric Bischoff's crew, too. They put him in the ring, and then you never saw him again. Remember when Val Venus was part of the shot callers on Eric Bischoff's team?
Sure.
The commissioner Morley. And then guess what happened? They fired him. He wrestled one match, and you never saw him again. He was released.
Yep.
So don't be surprised if Sonya Deville is released. It's not about anything other than they got nothing for her. You're right. She did. She was on TV as an authority figure, but she also didn't wrestle enough. And when they put her in the ring, I heard they weren't that crazy about what she did. But you could say, well, she's been in the back doing vignettes. How is she's? I guess they expect her to kind of hone her skills and work on her craft because eventually she's getting back in the ring. Wouldn't be surprised. Her and Cedric Alexander are looking at travel plans right now. I just said you can sense it.
Cedric's going to stick around, but where the hell is Shelton at?
Shelton, that's a good question. Yeah, I haven't seen him. I usually see him on Instagram posting stuff with his kids and stuff. Yeah. He posts a lot of pictures of him going out and about. Cedric's haven't seen anything from him.
Cedric's doing okay. He's playing this role of wanting to get in with MVP and Omos. And, you know, this week, obviously, Lashley came down to the ring while they were all in the VIP lounge. And Cedric took an ass whooping for MVP. So there's a little bit of a story there, enough to maybe generate some interest. I think people are still underneath the illusion that there might be another return of the Hurt Business in another variation. But, Shelton hasn't been around, man. I don't... if you want to talk about out of all of the guys that are getting cut, Shelton's on my list. And it's like, man,
and I know his name was Chief Morley, not Commissioner Morley. Thank you. But same difference. But the point being, he was on TV a lot, and then just within 2 weeks, he was gone. So I mean, they've done this before, and someone else mentioned they're cutting people out who are in active storylines they got rid of.
Yeah.
So that's I don't think there's anybody. I think they're taking a real second and third look at certain people and going, we got all we can out of them. I think no one's safe. You know, don't you kind of agree, Mish, that Randy Orton's safe, Roman Reigns is safe. The Usos are safe. There are certain people who are obviously safe, but there are other people who I could see them saying, we got all we can out of this.
And Lee Sanders from RCWR brings up Shelton NXT-ish. I mean, if you gave me an option to have Shelton down there as a trainer or even working as a veteran with some of those guys, yeah. In a fucking heartbeat. There's nobody that's going to deny the fact that Shelton's a great wrestler. He's not the greatest promo guy, but he's always been a fucking great wrestler. And if that's what NXT wants and needs, and absolutely fucking needs, are veterans to go down there and help the younger talent out. Look, they did it with Dolph Ziggler, and it kind of worked. They did a little bit with Natty. They've done it with Charlotte. They've done it with a lot of people where they bring down the veterans for half a minute, Samoa Joe. So yeah, it's not necessarily like this big thing, like this big demotion. Finn Balor, of course. You know, he was down there for a hot minute, and people are like, oh, that's the end of his career. And now he's back in WWE. He's kind of working with AJ. It seems like they might even bring back the new Bullet Club with AJ and Finn Balor and Liv Morgan. Digest that shit. The idea of a guy like Shelton going down to NXT, I'm all for it, man. I think that WWE can absolutely use a lot of these veterans that still have good relationships with WWE in order to help groom the fucking stars of tomorrow. Clearly, Shelton knows what's going on. There's no fucking reason that he couldn't be helpful elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But if he's got to go, he's got to go. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not up to us. It's just fantasy booking of who doesn't get shit canned, you know?
Yeah, it's true. As far as Alexa Bliss, just to make a comment on her quickly, I thought when I saw her come out, I'm like, oh, she's back to normal. Then I saw what she was carrying in her hands. But, okay, they're still trying to sell the doll. I get it. But she came out more or less the goddess, or at least a baby face version of the goddess. Clearly, she's not her old Harley Quinnish villainous anti-hero Alexa Bliss. She's just basically kind of plain old Alexa Bliss, looks like she should, but carrying the doll. And that's just a merchandise lore, right, Mish? I mean, that's what that is.
Oh, I don't think she's going to go very far either, dude. That was a complete nothing burger of a re-debut. They had her as a mystery opponent. She came out. The crowd did chant, welcome back and stuff like that, which was nice for the moment. But she didn't even get to have a full match. Like I said, two fucking moves. That's it. She went out there. She smiled for the crowd, smiled out of the crowd. It was as generic of a match, of a setting as you could possibly have. And as soon as the match was over, the announcers were already talking about other things while she was still in the ring.
I think it was no joy in Mudville there. I think there's some problems behind the scenes. I believe the scuttlebutt that she came out and publicly bashed them a couple of weeks ago about creative, right after she came from her honeymoon. I think there's some hard feelings there. And I think that's even the announcers don't make too much of a big deal out of her. I'm sure that's what what they do, Mish. We know these little things that they do to downplay or dumb down the importance, the hype. Yeah, and when they overdo it, it's ridiculous. When they underplay it, it's just as obvious. I think Alexa Bliss just did her gig, went out there, one and done, goodbye. But I don't know what this means. I was more focusing on, I think it's curtains for Sonya Deville. I don't think they'll ever get rid of Alexa.
Oh, I think they will. I think it'll be Alexa that leaves. Look,
you think so? On her own accord, you mean?
Yeah, well, I think that's what this was. I think this might be contract obligations at this point. And she just wants to go be a wife. Maybe she wants to go be a wife. God, maybe she wants to have a fucking kid. Does anybody bring that up? She just got married.
I never thought about that. Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Like, she has a whole brand new life outside of WWE that just started that has nothing to do with wrestling. And shit like that, changing of life changes your goals, changes your life goals. Maybe her goal all along was to get married and have a kid. We don't fucking know. She doesn't openly talk about that. So you have to put it on the table as a possibility. And when someone like Alexa Bliss, who has just miles and miles of storyline behind her, completely gets ignored, her fucking entire gimmick gets changed with no explanation, and she's out of there before the fucking ref even slaps the hand on the three, you gotta wonder, like, well, maybe she wants to go. Maybe she's the next one to ask for her release.
You know, Mitch, you're one of the only people. I did hear a couple of recaps last night from our fellow podcasters. No one mentioned that. This is why I love doing the show, especially on this kind of day on a Tuesday when stuff is coming off on Monday. And we talk about the pay-per-view, breaking news, as we talked about, happens on Tuesdays. And no one talked about that. Now, again, we're focusing more on Sonya Deville being dumbed down. You're right. It might not even be about Sonya Deville. It might be about Alexa Bliss as swan song. Let's see. You might be right. I wouldn't be now. Watch Thursday. They come to terms. We wish Alexa Bliss well. And you heard it here first, guys, because I'll give Mish credit. I didn't hear anybody say that.
But I mean, it's just kind of, we've seen it happen already. How many times? I mean,
but we were focusing on the demotion of Sonya, I think, and just, oh, Alexa's right. Black, but oh, she's carrying the doll. She's still with the doctor and the therapy, but not thinking like, hey, take this out. Listen, before you leave, can you plug the doll again? One more time? Hey, take the doll. She forgot the doll. Give it to her.
I mean, it's not stupid. She's still what, the number two merch seller with that stupid fucking doll. Still,
yeah.
So having her come out and show off Lily again, it makes sense.
This is Biff Busick. Listen to Wrestling Soup, the greatest podcast on the internet.
It makes sense. And you know what? Here's the other thing too, Filthy. You saying I don't think she's going. She can leave and come back. Lacey did. There's no reason that Alexa Bliss can't go, have a kid. Becky did. You know what I mean? Have a kid and then, you know, get back in shape and then come back to work. Dude, WWE is a lot more open about women being pregnant and women being moms than ever before. Ever. Yeah. Could you imagine a woman wanting to leave to go have a baby in the 80s? No. Get the fuck out the door.
They would never probably get the job. Secretaries didn't even get their jobs back.
Right.
Let alone people of power. No. Yeah, it's a different game today. It's much more friendly for her to go have a baby. And look, even Asuka was out with an injury for 9 months, just to even kind of recharge her batteries.
Right.
They would probably be willing to do that because listen, they have more than enough girls. They have girls still in NXT that they got to bring up. They have people in the NXT. What was it, newcomers, whatever that is. It's like people like Santino's daughter. They have other people coming up. It's not like, you know, they'll miss the merch sale. But Alexa Bliss, by the way, if they stay in good terms with her and she signs a contract where she stays on board but just takes a year off, they can continue to sell her merchandise.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What other parts of the night happened last night that were interesting? We had the Cody Rhodes and Austin Theory matchup.
Yeah, interesting.
I fucking loved it. I thought that was absolutely the match of the night. I thought it was pay-per-view worthy. I was very impressed with both of them.
Cody is really working out so far. We're 6 weeks in, and I think if cracks in the foundation would have showed, he's gelling with the talent. He looks comfortable. The crowd, another good crowd reaction last night.
Yep.
People weren't sitting on their hands. They were into it. They're committed to this. He's a top guy. He's going to be a world champion.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. The only thing that can stop him now is injury or illness, and knock on wood, he doesn't have either one bestowed upon him. As far as Austin Theory goes, I was a little surprised when I saw that. I'm like, so soon? These two guys for this? But what I was saying is, you know what? We're going to go back and remember this match 2 years from now. When Cody maybe is still the champion and Austin Theory is a number one contender and well-seasoned at that point, I was saying, wow, in 2 years from now, this could headline WrestleMania. Oh, yeah. So what we're seeing is a preview of an up-and-coming Austin Theory who's a rookie in a lot of senses of the word. I get it. He was in Evolve for three. I know he's been around, but he's still a rookie in the bigs. And Cody is the established in-his-prime veteran. A couple of years from now, that could be literally a main event or a co-main event on one of the WrestleMania nights. And if that's how good they were off the cuff like that, thrown together for a Monday Night Raw, what, 16 minutes it went, Mitch?
Something like that.
I'm looking forward to the future. Is Cody that good? Or is Austin Theory that able to adapt to anybody he's as a young guy? Is he that good himself? I think it's a combination of both. I think Vince and Bruce have faith in both those guys, and they didn't let anybody down. It was a good match. Okay, it was a fuck finish, but of course, Seth Rollins got pinned twice by this guy. He's going crazy, and now he's going to beat up Cody every chance he gets and jumps him probably for the next couple of weeks up until the pay-per-view. Makes wrestling sense to me. Yep. They couldn't let any of those guys get pinned yesterday, Mish, right?
No, No.
Yeah, it had to be a fuck finish.
Yeah. That was pretty much Monday Night Raw. Was there anything else that you wanted to discuss from it? Because I think I pretty much covered it. There was a lot of other bad things I don't feel like going through right now.
Becky's wearing the Power Rangers glasses or whatever that was. She looks so uncool and so cringy. And her and Asuka arguing backstage with Shawn Michaels. No, it's not Shawn Michaels. Yeah. If Shawn Michaels had his eyes set correctly, he would be Adam. What's his name? Adam Page. Yeah, I don't know what Becky's doing. It's so funny that Seth is firing
really,
all cylinders.
Becky was your problem with that. My problem was Asuka. Look,
Asuka was Asuka's. Is she over? Is she fooling us that she hasn't mastered a little bit more?
Oh my God! Thank you. Look, yes. All right. So
I love Asian people. I have my landlord's Asian. I have my partner's Asian. My co-host is Asian. I am not making fun of her. She's, and I told you, I have a friend who works with me at the club who is from Japan, literally lived in Japan most of his life, came here about 6 years ago, getting the music business, and said she talks gibberish, like you guys would say gibberish. That's not fluent Japanese. She's overselling nonsense. And that's from a guy who knows. I don't speak Japanese.
I will go two steps further. So I was kind of so frustrated with the Asuka promo yesterday. I looked up, what is the average time that someone can spend in the United States before they can pick up English? And according to Stanford University, if you want to pick up rudimentary level English, it is 3 to 5 years, right? 3 to 5 years to be able to formulate basic sentences caveman speak. It takes you on an average from 4 to 7 years to become an academic level speaking English person just by osmosis of living in the United States.
Right, right.
Guess how long Asuka's been in the United States?
37 years.
7 years, Kev.
7 years, I know.
She's been here for 7 years, and she still talks like she's taking a diarrhea shit through every syllable that she has. It is insulting on a whole different level.
It is.
Asuka, for Asuka to have been in this country for 7 years, and they want us to believe that the way she spoke back and forth with Becky, Asuka has a mental retardation. She is a slow learner. She does not have the rudimentary ability to speak basic English. Now, I don't know why they keep pushing this, but it's fucking weird, and it's a little insulting that a woman who's been in this country for 7 years can't even string a sentence together.
It's actually painful. It almost makes you feel, again, I don't know why they want fans to feel bad. I feel almost embarrassed for her when she's like, you can. It's almost like watching Nell. Like anybody who's seen that with Jodie Foster?
Oh shit! Jesus!
I mean, I'm sitting there like doing mouthing the words for her. I'm like, come on, like you know, what are you trying to? You're trying to have a comeback here. And her and that was just cringy on all levels. And
awful,
Becky is so uncool, and Asuka is special needs, and I don't know what's going on. The person who came off the coolest in that segment was fucking Adam.
Adam. So
when he walked away, Asuka. But I would like to see, like, almost be a fly on the wall when Asuka goes back to the dressing room. She's like, oh, that sucked, huh?
But that's what it is. She's like, oh, 7 years, dude, and especially 7 years in how many fucking cities? It's not like she's sitting in a little cubicle somewhere by herself. She is interacting with hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah,
you're telling me she hasn't picked up English in the U.S.? She's probably picked up other fucking languages from being here.
So, yeah, Asuka's a top woman. I don't understand. Again, she's not a Santino. Unless the dancing, this is what they see her as, is a goofball. The killer thing, we don't see her as that at all. The great Muda gimmick, the female Muda, we don't see her as that. We like her dancing and talking gibberish.
Right.
And maybe that's marching orders, Mish, from the back.
Oh, I believe it. There's no way in hell you're going to tell me. Look, I don't believe it.
We don't believe that.
I don't believe she's special needs. I don't believe she has, you know, learning disabilities. I believe she's perfectly fine, and this is what they want her to do.
Right.
And if they want her to do this, why? I don't think that the people.
You can
would
hear the
stop.
Angst in Misha's voice. I love.
Yeah, I know, dude. Because I like Asuka, dude. I've always liked Asuka. I love Great Muta. I have no problem with Asuka. I think she's a fucking fantastic wrestler. Yeah. She never puts on a bad fucking show. She's a cornerstone of the women's division in WWE. You get rid of Asuka, you're literally going to have a giant gaping hole that can't be filled. There is a lot to Asuka, and for me to believe that she's just so dumb that she just can't articulate, you, Becky, bad mom, you like... You like wah, like baby. Shut up. It's awful.
I'll be honest with you. I think Sloth from the Goonies had mastered the English language.
Maybe Asuka needs a baby Ruth.
Baby Ruth? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude. It just, I saw it and I'm just like, come on, man. She's better than this.
She should have made Becky do the truffle shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. What the fuck is happening?
Yes. And yeah. You know what? SRH John. Yeah, I have seen her YouTube videos. She used to do like vlogs. I haven't watched it in a while.
I haven't seen her on YouTube.
Seen it pre-COVID, to be honest with you.
Okay, yeah.
And pre-COVID, she had a better understanding because she was reading the YouTube chats and responding directly to that. So it wasn't even a matter of being able to pick up audibly. She was reading it and understanding it too. She's not dumb, guys.
The point being is that why are they doing this to her is really what we're emphasizing.
I don't know.
I don't get. And who does that appeal to? I think if anything, you're feeling sorry for. I feel most sorry for her than anything else. You know.
Yeah.
I do think the tweaking of the nose of Becky is pretty funny, though.
That was cute. That was cute. A Bruce Lee thing.
Yeah, that was a Bruce Lee thing.
Yeah, Bruce Lee used to do that. So I thought that was a cute little nod to Bruce Lee. I mean. You know, I don't know if it directly was, but it was either that or the Three Stooges. I wasn't really sure.
And now, Dr. Brian Wright reads shit takes from wrestling fans on social media.
Hello, everybody in Wrestling Soup Land. This is Dr. Brian Wright with another edition of Shit Takes from Wrestling Fans. What am I doing with my life? James Faluca at Center 51190 writes, AEW is always used as the crutch for the pro WWE fans whenever WWE flaws come up because it's better to avoid the issue rather than actually addressing it. It's a defense mechanism. WWE fans have the worst case of Stockholm Syndrome I've ever seen in my life. This was a response to Roman Reigns having 1 million Google searches. James B. on Twitter replies, and he still lies about having leukemia.
Catch more Shit Takes by Brian Wright on WrestlingSoup.com.
You're listening to Wrestling Soup.
Other news, Sitch. Got to talk about Sitch a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Me and you haven't talked about Sitch in a minute.
No,
but,
we haven't.
So they got her blood test back. She blew, or I? No, she didn't blow. She had a fucking, well, she probably did blow, but that's totally different. 0.28. She was, she's facing up to 30 years on a prison sentence. Her bail was set at $227,500.
Which she got. She got the percentage of it and got bonded out, right?
She got bonded out. So she got $22,000 to bail. She came up with $20,000 for bail.
And we don't know that. I mean, that could be someone who's like a benefactor, someone who's sponsoring her. We don't know if it was necessarily her or someone bonded her out, right? We just know that she was able to pay the money.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was her own money. You got to realize. I
know a lot of criminal elements, but I don't know a lot about this kind of stuff. Do they have a obligation to protect the person who bonds them out? Can the public find out about someone who posts a bond for somebody? Does anybody know about that?
Well, there's a lot of.
Can they out the, but like, you know, person wants to remain anonymous, I'm going to bail her out. You know, do they have to put that person gets publicly, can that person be outed publicly, or is that a privacy thing?
She might have went to a bail bondsman. It might be an entire agency.
Because they're saying public record.
It depends on the state. Certain states allow bail bondsmen. Some states do not. Illinois is one of those states that do not allow it. So,
they don't allow that.
You better
Illinois doesn't. Oh, okay.
You better have that money in your pocket, or else go fuck yourself. So,
well, that's, you know, the Illinois is the go fuck yourself state.
Pretty much.
But yeah, but $22,000. I mean, is still a lot of money. I mean, I would have thought even maybe her bail would have been higher. To be honest with you, I thought maybe she would have had to come up with $50,000.
So how it works is, Sitch had a $200,000 bond for the first charge, which is $20,000, 10%. Then she had a $10,000 bond, which is $1,000 for driving without a license. And then the DUI damages to persons and our property was set to $2,500 each. So she had to come up with $250 for each one of those.
So, just so you know, you see John posting here, Mish. I think you're right. It depends on state to state, because the individual who bonds somebody out doesn't work for the government. Their records are not public information.
Right.
So I think it depends. Yeah, because, you know, you have a person who bailed her out. You don't know if they, you know, she begged them to do it or whatever. You don't want them harassed.
Right.
Even though I think anybody who bonds her out is crazy because they're never seeing that money ever again. And they must really love her if they're doing that.
They might see that money again. Her OnlyFans is still up. Her OnlyFans is still up.
And yeah, I guess you're right.
Maybe, and she's taken a big drop. Like, I think she's lost over 1,000 people.
Oh, wow.
But she's still making money. She's still making like about $10,000 a month at this point.
That much money? Her? Really? God, yeah, dude. Jeez. Yeah, she has posting different things here.
She has a weird following. We know this. So, I mean, technically, if she's been saving her money because she's not using it on fucking Uber, she might have the money. She might actually have the capital, Kev.
Yeah, she might. She looks, I mean, you go by appearance, she looks like she doesn't have two sticks to rub together.
Right.
You know, she did that. What do we remember what she was paid for the two porn she did 5-6 years ago? Do you remember what she got?
I don't remember.
$250,000, was it? Something like that?
Yeah, it was
half a mil, yeah, maybe half like a mil. That. I mean, listen, no one's mugshot looks great, but her mugshot looked really evil.
Oh, not I even mean, the mugshot. There was a couple of video captures. They released the actual body cam of the police officer that arrested her at the time of the accident. And they also had a recording of when she was, I guess, trying to get her boyfriend in trouble with the police for having Xanax. And
was he arrested? I saw a mugshot of him. Or is that an old mugshot? They grouped them together. Someone posted it. I can't remember. It was on Twitter or Instagram. I can't remember.
I know he's Twitter. Brought in for questioning. I know that they said that they were bringing him in for questioning. I don't know if it was an actual arrest, though. So,
Sure. There you go. Someone, there it is. There's someone, Jack Frost. Just
she looks miserable in there, and she tells the cop in that video that she's doing Xanax.
Oh, it's you again. What is it that she thinks is drugs? This thing right here, I have no idea what it looks like. She thinks it is drugs. Well, if not,
he always has like a loose Xanax in his pants, and I can't sleep.
Why are you going through his pants?
To look for a Xanax to take to go to sleep.
Are you prescribed Xanax?
Am I? Yeah. Yes, but at home.
So why are you taking his Xanax?
Because I was drinking, I relapsed, and I'm feeling like shaky, and I just want to take something to go to sleep. But if I'm missing his pants, I don't know what it is.
Well, he looks the only way I would know is I could test it, but I can't charge him with it because...
Yeah,
he found it. There's no possession charge there. But get off the alcohol and stop hanging out with them and stop taking other people's Xanax because it's putting you in this position, right?
Yeah.
Bad choices. You remember us? We were out here. No. You probably don't remember. Okay. All
right. You don't remember
when
us.
When I drank that blackout, I don't remember anything.
You ended up in the hospital last time.
Yeah. We're the same ones that came out and put you in the hospital last time. So you got to get off this stuff because whoever that is bad news, especially if he's bringing this stuff in your room.
I don't know. Like, that's why I just say I found it. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, you understand taking someone else's Xanax is just as bad as in having this, right? It's still a felony, right? I'm not going to charge you. I'm not going to charge you with
just
this.
Just because I told you guys.
No,
I'm not. I'm just explaining to you that you need to make better choices. Right.
Taking someone else's medication or being caught with someone else's medication is a crime.
Do you know? I mean, I know you're not a drinker.
No.
Do you have a guess? And we'll say that she's 160 pounds because that's what it was set at. But some people say that she's a lot heavier than that. I look at her and I'm like 160 even seems like a little too much, but she looks a little frail. Do you know how many beers to blow 2.8?
Oh, that's a good question.
Just
8 to 10? 8 to 10?
To blow a 2.8, she would have to blow at 160 pounds. She'd have to blow, or she'd have to drink at least 11 beers in 1 hour.
Yeah, close enough.
Or 11 shots.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say 8 to 10 drinks. I've heard that even from ownership, the scuttlebutt about not over-serving and stuff. So it is crazy, you know, because that's what someone say when you pull you over, how much you have to drink? Oh, a couple of beers. You never say about 10 beers. Right. So you always say a couple. But yeah, I've always heard in meetings that we're in, even with the bartenders, even though my job is the performance room and the bands and the sound man and stuff, but I'm in on there when they're talking to the bartenders, they're talking about not over-serving, and they were talking about getting pulled over and liabilities for bars if someone gets into an accident, blah, blah, blah. We go through all this stuff all the time. So I've always heard it was like something like 8 to 10, but yeah, 11, that would make sense to me.
Yeah, if she was 180 drinks. Pounds, it would be literally a 12 pack of beer in an hour.
Oh, it does depend on your weight. So yeah, a 300-pound man would be a lot different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, definitely if she was 120 pounds or 100 pounds, she would have to have blown like – or she would have had to have drank like around 20 beers.
Dude, I've seen people who are, you know, smaller than Sonny who've had like 2 shots and 3 beers, and they're already needing a 100% Uber ride home.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends on your, what do you call it, your makeup, you know, even, you know, how you deal with alcohol. Like my partner, Trez, just to give her a shout out to Trez from Panty Chronicles. Yeah. She can drink and she doesn't get drunk. I don't think she's ever, well, she'd admit it, but she does not get drunk. I mean, she's even been to a club that I worked at. She can handle her alcohol, so to speak,
right.
But she paces herself. But there are certain people, I think, just they can have a couple of drinks and they could be 3 sheets to the wind, 3 drinks.
Well, or the scarier version, which this could be the case too, is that Tammy is so used to abusing her body with alcohol that she doesn't realize how fucking far gone she is.
Yeah.
And this might be one of those cases where, no, I'm fine, and believes that she's fine, but is clearly beyond impaired, way beyond impaired. I mean, here in Illinois, I don't know what it is in New York, but we're a 0.08, okay. And she blew a 0.28. So,
jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, she's being civilly sued too, correct?
I believe so too. Yeah.
By the family of the deceased man who died.
It's for a very small amount too. I think it's like $30,000 or some shit.
All right, so she's out on bond now. So they ankle bracelet her up. Is she on house arrest? Is she they pull an Uncle Junior Soprano with her? I mean, what
no,
are they
do? I don't
well,
think
Florida wants to keep her. Is she going to be extradited back to Jersey to face the other charges?
I think if you make your bonds, you don't get the ankle bracelet.
Oh, I would have thought they were she can't leave the state though. She's probably on can't
leave
the state.
Yeah, she's told she can't leave the state. But yeah, I don't think they give you an ankle bracelet if you make your bond. If you slide over that suitcase full of $22,000, they're just like, okay, sign these papers. Do you swear you're not going to leave the state? I swear. And then that's it.
Yeah, I know. People will say this is the worst downfall they've ever seen, like from superstardom or whatever. But I don't know if she was ever really that big a superstar. But it's been a long time since she's been famous, guys. That's the thing. Her heyday was 94 to 96. By 97, she was let go of the company already. Sable took her job.
Yeah.
She went to ECW and Paul Heyman tried to capitalize and stuff like that. Didn't increase ECW attendance because she was there. She was done. Me and Draper saw her in 2000. Wasn't even a line to get her autograph. Wow. Me and Draper saw her with Missy Hyatt in 2000. We were like, did she have glory other than 2.5 years of WWE TV? I've never seen such a downfall of a human being. How about that? Or is that a wrestling superstar of someone who just could have been had a different life? And at this age and stage, you guys are not going to meet a lot of older drug
but I've
addicts
never
or pill
seen
heads.
Somebody get so many fucking chances.
Oh, yeah,
either.
That too. That's what I'm saying. The downfall.
I mean,
of
you
want to
talk about the downfall. I totally agree with you. But most of us, after what? DUI number two, we don't get a car anymore. She's had what? 7 DUIs? What? 16, 17 fucking arrests?
Also, like, Mish, where is the kind of scared straight of being incarcerated, not because, oh, I'm going to get shanked, I'm going to get raped. The loss of freedom.
Oh, yeah.
The loss of freedom, being in a cell by yourself, listening to people screaming in the night, drive you fucking crazy. That's what my friends said. I have a lot of friends who went to jail, did time. They weren't scared of anybody there. As a matter of fact, they made some friends. They were left alone. It was the isolation and the loss of freedom. Sonny wasn't scared straight from that? She, oh,
no, she did
going,
time.
Never
did
going you? Back there again. Never what, going back there
what
again.
What did she do? 8 months? 6 months? 8 months?
Holy shit.
So she already did a little fucking time, and she wasn't doing county time. She was doing prison time, federal time.
The despair.
Yep.
The fucking that I'm never, my God, my life is ruined. How do I get a job when I get out? It'll drive you batshit. So I don't understand how she's like, I go back. I don't care. I thought she'd like her freedom, be able to do her OnlyFans thing and show her vagina for her fans. She can't do that in fucking jail. How long can she roll some older man who has a Jones for her sunny days and saying, I'm going out with Sunny now? You're going out with a fallen version of a 25 year ago, you know, bygone era. This is not that girl that you had a poster on your wall. So, yes, are there 40, 50, 60 year old men who are like, oh, I'll help. I have money. I'll help her out. My childhood, because there's something missing in their lives, Mish, that they want to, that they feel,
well,
that they can save her or something, you know?
I don't even know if it's about that, but let me ask you this. If you want to paint this as not being
God, I'm passionate about this. Jesus.
No. And you're right. There's a lot to fucking get angry about this. Yeah. It's either anger at the system, anger at her for blowing an entire livelihood because of her selfish decisions. Or do you think she just wants to end it all and she's just burning the candle at both ends on purpose? Do you think she just doesn't give a shit about prison? She doesn't give a shit about law. She probably doesn't give a shit about killing someone's father.
That's horrible. That's as gone as you can be as a human being. That's the ultimate downfall of humanity, is not caring about others while you're trying to hurt yourself, taking others out as you take yourself out.
Right.
That's the ultimate act of evil. That's the ultimate loss of humanity. I mean, you know, I'm glad that we get into stuff like this on these shows. It's not just all about, because it's true. It's you got to look at the grand scheme of things. The fandom, and I watch these people and they go, oh, you know, everyone deserves a second, third, fourth, fifth chance. Listen, they have three strikes, you're out, as a rule for a reason. Right. And listen, there are people who still probably, I don't know what her relationship is with her family. I never really hear her talk about family, whether it's a mom or brothers or sisters or whatever. It always seems like she depends on these wayward men, right, Mish?
Yeah.
Or these lonely hearted fans to save her. I never hear about family from her, even in interviews. I never hear about it.
Right.
You know?
I think her family probably disowned her a long time ago. At the end of the day, if Tammy wasn't Tammy as far as the stars go, do you think that if you looked at a person like her, you would immediately think this person has a death wish?
Yes, I think that she does want to go out in some sort of, and that's the biggest shame, because, you know, many of us will never have our 15 minutes of fame. Many of us will never have 2 years, as much as, you know, we have a little popularity here with doing a podcast. I have some popularity in what I do in a profession. You know, we have, although, you know, we appreciate our fandom that we have, the limited amount. But someone who really did have an opportunity to be in front of millions of people and be beloved and be the poster on somebody's wall and people wearing your shirts and being standing in line for your autograph, you would think that someone's like, I want that again. I don't want this. I don't want to. This is like, who? What did I turn into?
Well, we believed she got the Hall of Fame, when she got her nod into the Hall of Fame. A lot of us wanted to believe, oh, look, this chick's turned a corner. When she went up to the Hall of Fame, she looked good. She was taking care of
herself. She did look
good
at the Hall of Fame. I'll give her credit. She looked attractive.
Yeah, she cleaned up. And even when she was doing the porn, even though it wasn't for me and Joe and many other people.
Yeah, I much like with China, I felt sorry. I didn't get off on that at all. I felt almost like disgusted for watching it, to be honest.
Right,
with
you. But there was a lot of people that are like, oh, this girl's still fucking hot and shit like that. And I was like, okay, cool. I mean, she was hot enough to get the fucking project to begin with. She fucked Derek Rose, who went on to become like an AVN multi-time award winner in his field.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't
didn't you guys interview him?
Yeah, we did. We had a little interview with the guy, man. Pretty fucking cool guy. Dude, even starting her OnlyFans and then watching her OnlyFans peak. I think at one point she was making almost $50,000 a month.
That's insane.
A month. Insane. Oh, did I say Derek Rose? I'm sorry, Drew Yari. Derek Pierce.
Derek Rose of the Chicago Bulls.
Derek Rose.
We don't want any angry emails. But yeah, again, you would think that, okay, I'm kind of in the sex industry now. I'm not entertaining kids, but this is where it's at for me.
Right.
But why do you have to go the? You don't have to be a piece of shit criminal. You know what I mean? You don't have to, just fucking run roughshod over other people's lives because of your addictions. And I don't know how this ends. I just hope it doesn't end with her doing something else of a criminality aspect and injuring someone else. This time, perhaps a little kid. God forbid.
We don't want to fucking go there.
No, but, God forbid. No, we don't want to go. But when she's out, I mean, people were making memes of it. Watch out. Stay off the road. Sonny's out. I mean, it's sick funny. It's not even funny.
It's gallows humor at that point. It's gallows humor because
it's gallows humor.
Ha ha. Sonny's on the road. But then again,
that's what I was looking for. Thanks.
And the boys at Alleged Wrestling Podcast sent me a care package from Ireland. And I have the stuff. It was Tato chips. The one thing that I think myself and Tink were like, I want to do a full review. I want to go on their show and talk to them about this shit. But I got to say something. Tato brand Tato chips or crisps are probably the best fucking potato chip I've ever had.
Wow.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, we got Lay's. Chicago's is a Lay's town, right?
Yeah.
But Irish people know their potatoes.
Listen to the Alleged Wrestling Podcast every Friday live at 2:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And check out their gaming streams on Twitch. Subscribe to the Alleged Wrestling Podcast on WrestlingSoup.com.
Tato brand Tato chips, or crisps, are probably the best fucking potato chip I've ever had.
You're welcome, Ireland.
もうすぐレスリングスープが始まるから、いい子にしててね。
You know, speaking of other stars going through some turbulence, Big E's C1 vertebrae is not healing well.
Yeah,
he had some not so good news that he shared on social media, saying that his vertebrae is not healing as it was hoped. He's quoted as saying, my C1 apparently isn't healing optimally. I'll spend another 4 to 6 weeks in a brace in hopes that I can avoid a fusion. So that's something we really don't want to see is, you know, Big E become limited.
Yeah.
Big E, I mean, you know, obviously we hope that he heals well because, man, WWE would have another gaping hole without Big E. I think Big E is a cornerstone of WWE, a cornerstone of wrestling. He's a very big character to a lot of people, and I think a lot of people love him. And I'm kind of hoping that he would ever come back and get another run at one of those championship titles, you know, more than just past the couple weeks that he got there.
I agree. I mean, he's a large and life personality. He's a good ambassador for the company. The thing that, much like what happened with Magnum TA in his car accident, it's much different. But when Magnum got hurt in 86, he was so beloved in the NWA, they found a place for him. And he was an announcer. He was like a commissioner for a little while. He was on camera guy. And poor Magnum couldn't even walk. If anybody remembers Magnum TA with the crutch, it was so sad. Big E, it's not that kind of situation. It's a little bit different, but it's also career-ending injury.
Yeah.
Even if so, they have plenty of positions they can give this man. Maybe a hand at announcing. Biggie's a good talker. Who knows? Maybe he can work out as an announcer, kind of a Corey Graves type of thing. Why not? You know, they will find a position for him. It sucks if his in-ring career is over, but his WWE career is not over.
Right.
But let's hope for the best.
And so what it was is it was a C1 and a C6, and they found out that, you know, the spinal cord wasn't damaged or anything else like that. But if he does have to go through with this, fusion surgery can take an additional 6 weeks on top of it for recovery.
Right.
So you're talking an additional 12 weeks, maybe even longer, considering what's going on. So
yeah,
that takes him out for a good chunk of the rest of the year. I mean, and even if he does recover to full, doesn't mean that he's going to be ring ready to go. So
no, and they got to be careful with him too, because of re-injury is possible. And listen, Austin called it a day after, you know, at 38 years old. How old is Big E? Does anybody know how old Big E is? 34?
36.
30. Okay. 36. He's 2 years younger than Austin was when Austin called it a day at 38 because of neck injuries. The neck is real. I mean, thank God Big E was as, you know, that guy's got a fucking strong neck. And can you imagine if he was just an average guy with an average neck? That could have been a Drozdov injury. It could have been horrible.
Yeah.
But the positive thing about it, he's a positive guy too. He's not a woe is me type of guy. So I think something good can come out of that. I mean, things happen. Accidents happen. I'm sure Ridge Holland feels terrible about it because he's still on the active roster of wrestling. That's probably a tough pill for Ridge to swallow. I feel kind of bad for him too.
Well, that pretty much wraps it up for this edition of Wrestling Soup. Much love, Kev, for joining us. And absolutely, of course, man, make sure to check out Castle and Chickie, which drops tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
And of course, Thursday. Is Trez going to be on Thursday?
Trez will be back next week.
Next week.
Okay. This Thursday is Castle Chronicles. Next Thursday, Trez back, KNT. Tell us all about our Puerto Rico vacation. So
I wanted to throw this out here, too, because I wanted to let people know. I did talk to Don Tony. We did have a conversation via Twitter, through the DMs and stuff like that. And I guess everything is going to be copacetic now, which I'm hoping stays great. You know, like no more passive aggressive shots and everything else like that. And, you know, for the most part, I guess he's going to start calling off, you know, any kind of like comments and stuff like that. He's just deleting them now. And I'm like, that's good, you know. So just to let people know that there is conversation there and that me and DT did talk, and everything seems to be copacetic at the moment. And that's just the way it's going to be left. So,
yes, that's great news. And now we can focus on hating Drew Yari.
That's right. Fucking Drew. Will Drew ever learn how to use the event button? Curses.
I hate you more, he said. That's a great way.
But yeah, check us out on WrestlingSoup.com. Go to Patreon, obviously, if you're listening to this. Patreon.com/WrestlingSoup. Check us out on the YouTube. A new Monday Night Mish recap drops probably in the next couple hours.
Nice.
And then, of course, this will be up on Spreaker later on tonight. And then, of course, we got Wrestling Soup on Thursday. So, yeah.
All good. Lots to listen to. Lots to look forward to.
Absolutely. Much love, everybody.
Absolutely. Peace.
Peace.
Wow. Wrestling Soup. Motherfucker.